Good morning. And welcome to spring in New England. Isn't spring in New England like a special kind of special? You know, like the smell of the thaw, that unique smell that you don't smell anywhere else. Everywhere else I've lived, spring is like not quite as special as it is here. People get happier and friendlier overnight in New England when winter is over. And it is something worth celebrating. And this spring, my husband and I are celebrating the coming of spring by sort of doing something crazy. We are beginning a somewhat insane new adventure, fulfilling a dream we've had since we met like a decade ago. And we are slowly taking the first steps in trying, notice all the ways I'm qualifying this, to homestead our home, our property. If you don't know what homesteading means, it's like farming, right? We hope our vague kind of abstract goal in the future is to have to go to the grocery store as infrequently as possible. We want to grow our own food. We want to raise animals. And we definitely don't have the time to do this, but we're going to try. We have recently procured 6 chickens, and we are learning all the ways that is going to complicate our lives. We have been germinating seeds that we plan on transplanting outside in the next few weeks. There are these seeds that are poking up through the soil in our sunroom, and it's so exciting. But all of these plants need different things. Gardening, by the way, would be a lot easier if every vegetable needed the same things. But they all need different types of light and water. They don't want to be planted all at the same time. And some of them are like children. Like, they can't be put next to other vegetables or else they'll wither and die. It's nuts. It's really complicated and it's hard work. And we're learning that as we go. We fully intend on making a whole lot of mistakes as we do this. But we're going to try our hardest. And because this is so difficult, a couple weeks ago, I did what we all do when we need accountability for a new project. I announced it to Facebook. And I figure if I tell everyone I know that we're doing this, we're way more likely to actually do it, right? I don't know if this will work, but I noticed that when I did announce this on Facebook, all of my friends responded in one of only 2 ways. There was literally nothing in the middle. Either they said, "Amy, you're crazy, and you don't have time for this, and I cannot wait to tell you I told you so in a few months." Or they said, "Oh my gosh, you're the coolest person I know." There was nothing in between. And I think that both of these responses are actually super accurate and warranted. We are crazy. We don't have time to do this, but it is pretty cool. And we're really excited about it. And we're looking forward to all the things that we learn. This is going to be hard, but it's also very attractive. And it's not attractive or exciting or cool because it's easy. It's exciting and cool and attractive because it's disruptive to what we have been conditioned to do so frequently, which is when you need food, get up and go to the grocery store and buy it. A lot of the best things, the most attractive things in life are this way, are actually difficult. They are disruptive and they go against the grain of what we would normally do. Growing your own food instead of going to the grocery store is disruptive, but it's cool, I think. Forgiving somebody instead of unfriending them is difficult. It can be disruptive to what we would normally do, but we want to be able to do that. Giving credit to a colleague for a great idea instead of taking it from your boss when they think it was your idea, that's hard. It would be much easier to accept that credit, but we want to be the kind of person, I think, that would give that credit over. For me personally, I am wired to laser focus on a task and then plow right through it until it's finished. And so when I'm focused on something for work, when I'm writing an email or working on a project, and my kids want to finger paint, it goes against, it's disruptive to my wiring to stop and do that. But man, it is worth it every time. For some of you, that challenge might be reversed. There's a fine line between difficult and delightful. And I think they actually often go hand in hand. They happen together, especially when we talk about work, which is what we're going to talk about today. We're in the middle of a series called Ancient Paths. We're talking about spiritual disciplines, ways, practices, habits that have been set out for us by people who came before us. These are things that people way before we were ever roaming the earth, who are following Jesus, have figured out work, and they're things that help us to maintain a close relationship with our Creator. So far, we've talked about silence, and we've talked about Sabbath or rest, and today we're going to talk about work, Specifically, we're going to talk about co-laboring with God, working with God, collaborating with him. It's a similar word. And, you know, faith needs silence and it needs rest, but faith also calls us into action. Faith also requires of us that we get up and we get going for God's mission. And faith needs rest and silence so that God has an opportunity to call us into that work. And the thing about these ancient paths is that all of these are paths that work best under the right conditions, kind of like growing vegetables. And these conditions align us with God. You know, we're not talking about paths that we create through repetition or rote, mindless behavior. We're not talking about paths that are created like that patch of dirt underneath a swing set from the mindless, albeit joyful, swinging of a child, right? We're not talking about your morning commute. And you know what I mean. Like, you all know the precise minute you have to leave your house so that you make it to work on time. And your route probably involves a whole bunch of alternate turns so that you can avoid being stuck behind a school bus that stops at every single cross street along the way. And you probably occasionally wind up at work and can't remember how you got there. Has that ever happened to you? Where you get onto autopilot and you can't even recall the journey and taking you there? That's not the kind of path we're talking about. We're talking about a kind of path that we can walk thoughtfully and mindfully in total alignment, in lockstep with our Creator, with God. These are not paths formed by repetition only. In fact, those kind of paths can be kind of dangerous. And we're going to turn now to the Gospel of Luke and expand upon this a little bit. We're going to read a story that Jesus told the people who were following him at that time, a parable that you might have heard before, and in it there's a path. So pay attention to that. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." And this is just one of the few stories, actually, that Jesus explains himself afterwards. Like, usually he tells a story and then he lets us kind of figure it out. But in this particular instance, a few lines down, Jesus explains what he's talking about. And he explains that in this story, the soil represents us, people. And there are different kinds of soil, aren't there? Just like there are different types of people. And he explains that the seed in the story represents God's word. And the seed is being scattered, God's word is being spread and planted in all kinds of soil or people. And he explains that some of this soil is like ready for that seed. It's fertile, it's tilled, it's ready to receive it, and those seeds are planted and they grow and they are fruitful and they multiply. And he talks about all these other scenarios, and that one is probably the most successful. It is the most successful. But I want to talk today a little bit more about the seeds whose fate is the least successful. Arguably, those are the seeds that are thrown on the path. And these seeds get trampled and turned into bird food. Trampled bird food. And I've heard this story expanded upon in church like a number of times, and so often we focus on the birds as the like arch enemy in this particular scenario. And there's something to that. The birds snatching those seeds away, they're taking the word of God away from God's wherever God is trying to send those seeds, right? But what about the path? The birds might not be the root of the problem here. The path is. You know, how do you create a path? This is a dirt bath path, presumably, in the midst of, like, crop fields. And it's created by repetitive movement back and forth, by literal trampling, stomping, right? People walking back and forth over this land until it's hardened, until it's packed down, until when seeds are scattered on it, they bounce and get snatched up by birds. Imagine, though, if somewhere in this story, someone took a shovel and broke that path up. You know, the earth in this path is not necessarily infertile ground. It's not necessarily got anything wrong with it other than it's been trampled and turned into a hardened path. But imagine if someone picked up a shovel or one of those other tools you use to till the earth that I haven't learned about yet and turned that soil and prepared it for the seed. I bet those seeds would have taken. Recently, I decided nobly that I needed to change my morning routine a little bit so that I could more effectively wake up and spend the first few minutes of my day with the Lord. I wanted to start my day by waking up and reading scripture and invite him into my day right away. And my wake-up time has historically been 5 a.m. So when I decided to make it earlier, we're talking like a super early wake-up time. But I did it. I set my alarm earlier. I set up the screen time on my phone, kind of like Kelly talked about last week, and downloaded an app with devotionals that I love. And I set it up so that in the morning when I rolled over at 4:30 a.m., the only notification on my phone, despite any of the work craziness that happened overnight, was a reminder that my devotion was ready. And I did it. This worked. I would wake up by my alarm, and I'd roll over, and I'd read this devotional. And I was doing it. I did it every day. But then I started to realize that when I arrived at work at 7:30, 3 hours later, I couldn't remember for the life of me what I'd read. I had no idea. This is an example of how easy it is to wind up with a hardened path in your life that you're walking. Despite all of your best intentions, like a really genuinely good spiritual practice, if it turns into something that you're doing just to say that you did it, it isn't fruitful. And that's what I noticed. I was doing the right thing over and over and over again, but it was way more about me being able to say, I started my day with the Lord, than it was about actually preparing my heart to hear what he had to say about my day. And that's the thing, though, about hardened paths, is that always, 100% of the time, when you walk a hardened path, you'll wind up either bored or burned out. And the thing is that God loves hard work, right? Work is one of the first gifts and blessings that he gives us in the very beginning of the story. God is all about good business, being fruitful and multiplying. God likes work. God worked really hard. The first thing we know about him is that he exists and that he worked really hard for 7 days to create everything that we know. He creates man. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God has created everything, creates man, and then it says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. Work comes before the fall, people. It does. It's a gift. Believe it or not, it's a gift. And it's one of the first gifts God gives us. We're invited into his human project. We're invited into participating with God in all of his creativity from the very beginning. It's part of the purpose of why he made us. He has intended forever for us to contribute to his creative process, to collaborate with him, to work with him, to extend the ways that he is still making things. Something that I learned recently about this very verse is that the word that is used in this verse for tend, in other translations it says till or work, is a Hebrew word, and the word is aved. And this word, actually in other parts of scripture, also means to worship. How cool is that, first of all? It blew my mind when I realized that. God gave us work as a gift, and he intends for it to be worshipful. Language can either be used to distinguish different things from each other, or it can be used to take two things that are different and connect them together. And that's what we see here. Work and worship as one thing, aved. That's God's intention. You know, God gave us work. He calls us to get up and get going. He calls us into action to do things for his mission here. But he intends for it to be worshipful and collaborative with him. Is that how work feels like for you right now? You know, God wanted us to create and to invent. He wanted us to build homes and create neighborhoods and communities. He wanted us to work to discover all the beautiful things that are tucked away in nature and in science. He wants that from us. But how often do we wind up walking down a hardened path, oblivious to the kind of seeds he's trying to sow in our hearts, and we wind up creating things that isolate people, or hurt people, or kill people? It's a risk. I am a workaholic, and I know that some of you know that this is absolutely true. It is. I love work too much. And the thing about being addicted to work is it's maybe the only addiction you are not allowed to quit. Also working against me is that our society and our culture worship work. We as a society in 2019, United States of America, don't do anything more than we work. It's true. Do the math and let it sink in. It's kind of tough. But for that reason, work and the things that I get up and I do during the day, those things are actually at a high risk for me for becoming a hardened path. And I would go so far as to say chances are it's a high-risk area for you as well. It's hard for it not to be. Either the path you're on is too comfortable. Maybe you're going through the motions at work, and that path is too comfortable, and it's so rote and repetitive that you might be becoming bored with what you're doing during your day. Or maybe your path is too narrow, and you've got your eyes set on some goal way down over there, some goal that you have set or your boss has set that you haven't consulted God on, and you're bulldozing your way through it and hardening the path as you go, completely unaware of the ways that God is trying to speak into that. Chances are this morning you are either bored or burnt out or headed there, and it's just a matter of whether or not you're ready and willing to admit that today. That's what I do, by the way. I'm a bulldozer. I really love setting a goal like way off in the distance and then setting a bunch of like mini goals that will make sure that I get there and then check, 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 and plowing through in order to reach things. Nothing satisfies me more than checking boxes off of my to-do list. Nothing. I love that. But the problem with that is that when I allow a hardened path to develop under my feet, when I do that too much, when I bulldoze too quickly, I can become prideful. I can become too competitive. I can unknowingly or accidentally, hopefully, hurt people that I love because I become completely shut off from whatever God is trying to speak into what I'm doing. And I miss what he's asking me to do next. I miss it. I used to be really proud to tell people about my favorite prayer. I'm actually 100% sure that I've bragged about this to someone in this room over the last few years. I used to wake up and start every one of my days by saying, God, thank you for this day. Please multiply my time and my energy so that I can accomplish as much as possible today for your glory. I'd say that prayer every day, and I thought I was nailing it on the head. There's nothing wrong necessarily with that prayer. Like, I wanted to glorify God. I work in ministry, and I work in a school, and the things that I'm pushing for are good things. But eventually, I started to realize that that prayer was way more about asking God to stay out of my way than it was begging him to intervene. And it's true. I was asking God to clear my path so I can get where I was going. Even if that endpoint was a really good goal, I was telling God to leave me alone, right? Instead of asking him to disrupt my path, to interrupt and intervene and tell me what he wanted me to do next. And I have wound up burnt out more times than I can even count. Once a year at least. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is explaining to the early church how to live out and mobilize their faith, what it means to get up and get going for God, to be called to action. And he says this, It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers. And in other translations, it says co-laborers. And you are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's field. You are not God's highway, right? When you own the fact that you are God's field and you are where he is intending to grow more of his creation, owning that and living for that is aveid. Not doing that is missing the point. I've developed a new favorite prayer that I hope lasts a little bit longer. I don't wake up anymore and beg God to stay out of my way. I wake up and simply say, good morning, what are we doing today? I have to force myself to turn the soil underneath my feet, to make sure that I'm not hardening the earth beneath me and making myself resistant to God's calling in my life. I have to try hard and set boundaries in place to not wake up to my to-do lists, because I don't want to trample my way towards a goal and reach it only to realize that I've missed what God actually wants me to do. And the thing about doing this is that a path is really nice. A path, you can see where it's going. You can see way out in the distance where it's headed. But when you commit to actually turning the earth under your feet consistently, you begin to obscure where that path is going. And that's a risk. Inviting God to breakfast every day and asking him what's on the agenda for him means obscuring the path and possibly not knowing where you're going to wind up a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 minutes from now. And it's risky because maybe God's going to ask you to change course or to switch up your goals. He's done that to me a number of times. He might point out that your kids need you more than your boss does, or vice versa. He might point out that the work you're doing is causing more harm than good to the environment or to the community. He might tell you that what you're doing is good, but that you ought to be aiming higher, that what he has planned for you is bigger and you're settling. He might tell you you need to be more generous with your resources or remind you that you haven't made anything beautiful in a while, and he wants you to. He might show you a place in your life where there's chaos and challenge you to bring order to it. These are the types of things that are missional to God, making things beautiful, bringing order to chaos. And his intention has always been to invite us into that work. That's why we're here, is to continue his creative process. He also might affirm the things you're doing, which is great. Obscuring the path in front of you is hard, it's disruptive, but like growing your own food instead of going to the grocery store, it's cool, and it's delightful, and it's beautiful, and it's worth it. Aveid is the antidote, the only antidote for boredom and for burnout. Aveid, worship and work as one. Boredom and burnout are symptoms of a hardened path beneath your feet. Maybe you're going through the motions and doing things so repetitively that you're trampling the soil down and hardening it and making it impossible for God to sow his next thing in your heart. Or maybe you're bulldozing your way through a goal that you set and missing the opportunity to participate in his work. But Aveid is the antidote to these feelings. When we're more tuned into God's mission than our own mission, when we're more tuned into him than our own desires for our lives, we get the opportunity to grow things that he wants. God has given me my greatest callings in my life in the midst of utter burnout. Utter burnout. And not because burnout is good, but because in those seasons, those moments were the only time I was desperate enough to stop and say, God, what are we doing? He called me into ministry when I was 8 months pregnant with my first child and with a full-time job. It was insane. And it's been difficult a lot of the time. It's been difficult to balance what I give to my family and what I give to the people that I'm serving in church. But it's been worth it 100 times. When I went to college, I spent the first couple years in college as a business major. And if you know me, that might sound bizarre now. But I spent those first 2 years pursuing a goal I had set, something that made sense to me, something that would make me money later. And I became deeply and darkly depressed. And in that time of desperation, I was desperate enough to call out and say, God, what are we doing here? And he called me to change majors to be an art major, which, guys, makes no sense, like in any sense of the word. And it's worked out, right? I started to experience Evade. I started to see how I could work towards a goal, how I could make things and worship him while I did it. And now I get to go to work every day and teach young people how to do that too. I'm an art teacher now. That's nice, right? That's Evade, right? I began to experience that where my path was hardened, when I was brave enough to pick up a shovel and turn that soil and obscure that really well-defined path into the business world, I began to experience what God had actually had planned for my life. He's done this time and time again for me. There's a poet that I love a lot. His name is Wendell Berry, if you've never heard of him. He was a Jesus follower, and he also lived an agrarian lifestyle, which means that he was a farmer. So it fits in real nice today. And this is a poem that he wrote called The Real Work. It says, "It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we've come to our real work. That when we no longer know which way to go, we have come to our real journey. The mind that is not baffled is not employed. The impeded stream is the one that sings." This is a poem about continuing to turn the soil beneath your feet, being willing to obscure the path in front of you in exchange for God's direction and intervention in your life. It's about seeking wise counsel and being diligent in prayer and not following a plan because you've said it, but because it's his plan for you. Are you bored right now? Are you just going through the motions? Are you burnt out? Have you been bulldozing your way to a goal that you can't quite even see anymore? Don't be afraid to disrupt your path. In fact, beg God to do it daily. An impeded stream is the one that sings. Don't drift through your life taking cues from those around you. Don't buy into the mission of people around you without first asking yourself if this is God's mission. Don't let your own vision for your life hold you back. I guarantee you that God's vision for your life is greater than whatever vision you have for it. Instead, till the soil beneath your feet. Beg God to be present in your work daily, in everything that you do. Whether it's running a business or teaching or raising children or caring for an elderly parent, whatever it is you're doing, beg God to intervene. Wake up, invite him to breakfast, and say, "What are we doing today?" Be ready to receive the seeds he's trying to sow and co-labor with him in his creation project by making things beautiful, by ordering chaos. Evade is the antidote to boredom and burnout. This might take you on an unexpected journey. It might be really hard, but it'll be delightful. And you won't be bored. And you won't burn out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of work. Thank you for giving us a call to action in our lives, whatever it is. Thank you for varying those calls to action so that we can participate in the process of discovering what it is you have planned for us, for discovering what it is you've created us to do. Lord, give us the courage to obscure the path in front of us so that we can experience work and worship as one thing. This is hard, it's risky, and it's a little bit scary. And we need your Holy Spirit to help us do it in confidence. Thank you for inviting us into your creative project, for intending for us to be where you grow the most beautiful things in life. Help us to remain focused on those things, on your mission. We love you, and we beg you to intervene in our lives and all of the things that we do, and continue to persistently plant seeds of your desires for us in our heart and in our lives. We lift this up to you, everything that we do and everything that we know, to you today, in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.